The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What's up, y'all? I'm Uzu Han. You're about to watch my music video, Bon Appetit. It's a banger. I put a lot of love and energy into it. I hope you enjoy it. And thank you so much for the love you've shown for Loverboy. And I'll see you on the podcast.
Bitch, stop playing with me. I gotta cut out the leash. Dog and me gon' Bon Appetit.
I leveled up on a sneak. Bitch, stop playing with me. I gotta cut out the leash. Dog and me gon' Bon Appetit. I leveled up on a sneak. Bitch, stop playing with me. I gotta cut out the leash. Dog and me gon' Bon Appetit. I leveled up with a sneak. You don't work harder than me. Stuck to the vision, I cut with precision. Now none of you chonons are touching my steez. I just might do my little dance. I just might have my new pants. Used to be broke, chase after money. Now I get the checks in advance. I feel like I was in Nineveh. Now my life's sweeter than Cinnabon. Don't like a win, I need 10 of them. Baby girl, I'm feeling royal like Tenenbaum. Life has become like a cinema. When they see me in the flesh, I'm larger than life. I've been working in the background, fit blacked out, busy moving in silence. I leveled up on a sneak. Bitch, stop playing with me. I gotta cut out the leash. Dog and me gone, Bon Appetit. I leveled up on a sneak. Bitch, stop playing with me. I gotta cut out the leash. Dog and me gone, Bon Appetit.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Genius Brain Podcast. I am your host, David So. If you're a first-time listener, don't expect anything at all because I have nothing planned or prepared, but we have a very special guest today. We have James Han. Do you want me to introduce you as your rapper name or your real name?
Do the rapper name.
Okay. Yeah, it's Uzu Han. First of all, what does that mean?
Uzu Han? Yeah. Okay. So before, I used to go by a rapper named Jay Han, and I wanted to change my name because I just wanted like a brand new start. So I was like, man, all the cool names are taken, like Kanye West, Drake, they're all taken.
I think Kanye is just his actual name.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
You might have to go back in time and talk to your parents about that shit.
Oh, bro. So I was like, let me go to Google Translate and see what I find. Mm-hmm. So I was like typing in, you know, the typical words. I was like, what's the Korean word for handsome? Or what's the Korean word for, you know, the best? And then I was just going through the Rolodex and I was like, man, all these Korean words suck.
Yeah.
I typed in excellence and then out popped Uzu Han. So like, do you know that word?
No, I've never heard of that.
So
one.
Like in Korean school, there used to be like a Uzu Han, mm-hmm. a Uzu award that I would always never get. So I remembered that, and I asked my mom. I was like, "What does usuhan mean?" She's like, "It means you're really good."
Wait, so you went to like a legit hangarakyo then?
Oh, like in elementary school on like a Saturday.
Oh,
yeah. Y'all didn't have that here?
No. We had Korean school, but it was forced upon me because it was like right before church started. Oh. So the church would do it, and so my parents would fucking beat my ass, and they would take me to Korean school. So I would do that in the morning.
Yeah.
Then I would eat like 6 donuts, and then I would do Bible study, and then we would do worship, and then we would have activities after. So it was a whole fucking thing. Like we would wake
on Sundays.
On Sundays,
that's too much.
My dad was one of the fucking, what do you call it? We were Presbyterian, so he was one of the fucking people.
Elders.
So he was like one of the elders. Yeah. And then he became a pastor. So I had to go when he went, which is at the butt crack of... Jesus wasn't awake then, dude. And I had to fucking show up so early. I remember going to that church, being the first one there and the last person to leave.
Bro.
And all these people would look at me like, what are you doing here? It's like, dude, my dad is still working here. So I'm just waiting around while everybody goes home.
Bro.
Yeah, praise God. I love it.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
All right. So... if you guys don't know, this man was based out in Atlanta, and you said you just moved. Now you're permanently here. You made the big move, which a lot of people don't do.
Relatively so, yeah. Like, I'm still trying to see where I want to land, but I'm spending a lot of time in LA.
Okay. But you are going to move here, though, right?
That is the intention, yeah.
What's holding you back, though? Why won't you?
I think I'm just looking for certain opportunities or...
that shit doesn't come that way, dude.
Yeah.
It never works out that way. Like, everybody does this conversation thing before they move to this city, right? Number one, I'm not saying that Los Angeles is a place for that everybody has to be in, right? Like, everything is so global. Everything is on the internet. Nobody technically has to move here, right?
Yeah.
Or to New York or some of these bigger metropolitan cities. The only purpose for moving here is for you to feel like you're in a creative space and there's other people here that could help grow that, right?
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that Los Angeles or these bigger cities have to offer. When you kind of live in a smaller town, everybody's
lonely.
Everybody's happy doing their own thing, and they kind of have the white picket fence, the house, and the kids, which is beautiful. But when you're an artist, you kind of need to feel like this monkey on your back. Like there's somebody coming after you, or you need to get to a point where all this is worth something.
Yeah.
When everybody else is satisfied around you, you become complacent too. That's why I can't move back home, even though I love my hometown, Sacramento.
Yeah.
But when I'm there, I'm a little too complacent. Like, everything is kind of too good.
When you're
here, you feel that pressure of wanting to be better.
That's a very good analysis. My God.
Damn. I mean, that's why, like, look, I have other friends too. Shout out to my buddy Josh. This bitch still hasn't moved from Atlanta to here. I fucking been telling this dude for like 6-7 years. And when he started, it was when he first came here, he came in and out, obviously for different opportunities.
Yeah.
But what happens is like Atlanta also is a hotbed for a lot of culture.
Right.
Right. But there's this little thing missing. And I don't know what it is in Atlanta. You know what I mean? There's something a little missing. Film went over to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Right. But there's not a lot of big things popping out there. And it's just enough to keep people there. But... for some reason, when artists go from that place to Los Angeles, something happens. Whether it's because of the pressure of wanting to be better or other people just kind of boost your creativity, that move becomes something that allows you to grow exponentially. I don't know what it is, though.
I mean, I've been in Atlanta for like 8 years, so I only have my theories, my personal opinions. You know, it's a great place if you're Black to receive that kind of support. And infrastructure and, I don't know, emotional support. And I have a lot of friends in the industry who do music and in film. You know, like, connecting with them is very, for them, connection's very easy. But, like, I'll just go from my vantage point. Like, when I meet people, I'll pop out at an event and I'll be like, hey, I'm an artist. And they're like, oh, that's cool.
Like, get out of here, Asian boy. Get the fuck out of here.
As much as, like, you know... I see a lot of media come out of LA and be like, oh my God, like the needle has really been moved so much. And I'm like, yeah, to a certain degree, I think so. But for people like me, when I'm out in different, you know, not LA or not California, I meet people and they're just like, oh, that's cool. It's novel, but it's not enough for like, and I'll be like, yo, I'll hire you. I have money to pay you. Let's work and collaborate. But sometimes it's not enough like social capital. There's not enough like, I don't know. There has to be something outside of just the money for, you know, the people that I've met.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. The people who do want to work with me are usually like, probably like, you know, watch a lot of anime.
I mean, look, is that like frustrating for you as an artist? Do you feel sometimes like, hey, this is where my greatness is, and then people just aren't seeing it.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I think I definitely have those frustrations, and in one sense, I'm grateful I went through those frustrations because I feel like I have a perspective that a lot of artists and value creators don't have. Because, you know, for some people, 1 + 1 = 2. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, 1 + 1 has never equaled 2. It's been like -10 for some
people. Yeah.
I'll give you another example. I was in Nashville for this like music event. And I was talking to this, can I say white boy? Is that?
I don't give a fuck. Yeah. He's Italian.
Thank you. Okay,
look, I was has a spaghetti. Look, it's a different.
Hey, respect. You know, I was talking to these producers, you know, and music people, you know.
White boy producers.
Yeah. Okay. And they're very talented. And they were just asking me about my story. They're like, yo, you've been doing music for a little bit. Like, tell me about what you've learned and what kind of sound you want to make moving forward. So I was like, hey, I'm interested in like, you know, like house and UK garage, you know, and like all these things that I'm in the future I want to make, or like I'm currently, I do melodic rap, blah, blah, blah. I tell them I shifted into that world because I used to just be kind of like rap. And I realized just doing only rap with my face and my suburban background doesn't sell. Like when you think about the Rubik's Cube that you got to create to make the right product to sell some shit, like I didn't have the right Rubik's Cube, and I've been trying to shift it around. And I was trying to explain to him, you know, like, I just think maybe like R&B, I sell it a little better, or maybe if I was in fashion, I'd sell it better, you know, like this face, or if I'm a doctor, you know, I'm just trying to get him to understand, like, like, do you understand? I'm trying to say it without saying it,
yeah,
you know. And then he was like, you know, but like Kanye, you know, he was like, he decided not to rap about drugs and not about the streets, and look at where he went. And I was like, he's black.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I scared him away. I was like, he was like, oh, I think I'm gonna get some drinks. Like, why do I have to explain it to you? 1 + 1 = 10 for you, man.
Yeah.
You know, all you have to do is talk to mommy and daddy, and you might know somebody in Nashville will connect you, which is great. Like, use what you got. But when I try to explain my story, it just doesn't read, or it doesn't land on some people who just didn't have to deal with it, which is fine. Like, I don't use it as a crutch. I don't use it as like
My thing for this is like this. Like, it's hard to kind of carve your space out in a world full of clones, right? Everybody is a clone of everybody else now, right? And this is not to conflate the idea that we all gain inspiration from people, right? But adaptation has even died now. Now it's just, what do you do? I'm going to do it, make a carbon copy of it, and I'll take some of your clout and fame, and then I'll just be somewhat successful with that. And then everybody follows this whole, you know, train in this genre, right?
I thought about doing that. I was like, man, maybe I should just, because when Migos was hot in like 2016, I was like, maybe I should just copy Migos, like cadence-wise, everything. And you know what? People would probably have been like, damn, he's fresh.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, because different avatar.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, I would say this though, right? Everything for me in my case, let's say for I'll use myself as an example, right? There are so many different things that I could have done in my path to make myself way more successful than I am now, right? Yeah. My level of success is what I enjoy. And I literally was just having a conversation with this with my wife yesterday. And it's very seldom that me and my wife actually have heart to hearts, right? Because I fuck around all the time. Like, she wants to have a heart. Like, I got in trouble the other day because she wanted to talk about having kids, right? But I was too tired. And it was really hard for her to bring it up. And she goes, hey, I really have something serious to talk about. I was like, girl, I am tired as hell. You want to talk to me about this shit? And I knocked out. But she was like trying to muster up the courage to talk to me about this shit. So I kind of fucked up. So we don't have like these heart to hearts a lot, right? Yeah. So we were talking about this where I was telling her, you know, my path and my career has always been the idea of doing the things the way that I want to do it. Right. Yeah. And if I don't have that, then I would have never been in this space. And how I look at it is this: if it was always something for just like financial gain, right, I could have just worked a fucking job, you know, like that path is a lot easier. Right. I could focus on what I need to do, get that money, walk away, and then do other things. Yeah. But the objective of the things that I do was always to just do things that kind of made me happy. Right.
Yeah.
No matter what the result is. Now, I can't, going down that path is very hard. Why? Because the likelihood of you being successful in that path versus just copying what other people do, it's a very, very slow burn.
Slow burn.
Right? So a lot of the things at the well that you're going to have to constantly go back to is go back to your mission statement. It's like, why am I doing this in the first place? Yeah. As long as you stick to that, all the other stuff doesn't really bother you so much, right? Yeah. When I see other people who are successful doing what they do, I'm just like, oh, that's their path. This is my path. And you're going to have to just anchor down on that. Mostly, and I'm not sure if this is for you, but I feel like I've had this conversation with other people. A lot of that honestly kind of comes with like an idea that you probably don't believe in yourself as much as you think you do, mm-hmm. right? Because there are so many outside factors that come to you that tells you that you're not worth it.
Yeah.
You know, and it fucks your head up a lot.
Yeah.
It fucks it up a lot. And it happens to me too. When I started going into acting and I would go into these rooms and I would see these other people and I'm like, I know I'm better than you. And I'm not saying that to flex, but garbage is garbage. And I could see that shit float in the water. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, oh, I'm better. And they would take these roles from me.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Right. But I don't dwell on that. Maybe they were the better person in the room. I can't take away from them. Yeah. But I just have to know that I'm good with myself. So when I leave these auditions, I don't ever leave disappointed because I didn't get the role. I leave happy because I did the role the best that I could. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And those are the things that keep me afloat.
Yeah.
For you, in your case, when you go into like this music industry, first of all, there are a few things that I believe that are very, very difficult in entertainment. It's not acting. It's not even writing and directing. I think those are very difficult jobs. I think music is one of the hardest things, right? It's so ever changing and evolving all the time.
Every year.
You have a fan one day and the next day they fucking hate you,
yeah.
right? And that might be true in any type of entertainment case, but with music, you have that one banger album. How many times have we seen somebody come out and they're just a one hit fucking wonder?
Yeah.
And that is a lot of artists' biggest fear. It's like, after I drop this project on the next one, are they going to remember me?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to care about me?
Yeah.
Do I need to change my sound? Do I need to evolve? Or what if I like the way that I am and I want to keep it, but the next album, nothing sells?
Yeah.
Well, money is power, right? If I have more money. This goes into this whole fucking thing. You know what I mean? It becomes very fucking stressful.
A lot.
For you, like in your case, what I see is that you are very good at what you do. You're very excellent at it. I think from what I see in this industry, you might need a little bit of fucking, excuse my French, you need to be a little retardation. You know what I mean? You need to go full-blown R-word. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, unpack that. What does that mean?
Re- So
I know what the damn word is. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I'm saying this in a good way.
Mm.
Because some of the most just disconnected fucking human beings believe in themselves so much, it's unreal, even when their product is trash.
Yeah.
And there's people I follow on Instagram, I don't even know them, but they just popped up on my feed, and I see the hard R in their eyes. And then I use them as motivation for myself, because I'm like, they're garbage. If they could do this every day, they wake up, they get their Nokia flip phone, and somehow they upload this video on Instagram. This potato ass footage, and they're out there, they put on that Justin Timberlake song and you see them just fucking dancing, you know what I mean? And they upload it because they think that they're fucking dope. And guess what? It's not one video. It's like 100 of them.
Yeah.
And every day they believe that something's gonna come of this, even though it's not.
Yeah.
You need some of that hard R. Mm. Hard R in your life is great. Not the N-word one, but the other one. The hard R, like the hard R.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do it together.
I know. The hard R in your eyes, dude. Dude, I'm Gary V. I'm Gary V-ing it right now. I'm about to get canceled.
Yeah.
But you guys, I'm like on a serious note. I have seen some actors too who are trash, right?
Yeah.
But they go into every audition, everything that they do, as if they are the shit, and they book. They book. I don't get it. I'm not doing their auditions, right? Yeah. They're doing commercial auditions or whatever.
Yeah.
But I follow them just to see what they're going to book. I had this guy. He was doing an audition, right? I don't even know what the role was for.
Mm.
But you're not supposed to post your auditions before anything happens. He goes in, right?
Yeah.
Oh, he sends his audition and then he uploads his shit before he even sends his audition, which you're not supposed to do. He clearly signs an NDA. Psychopath. And in this fucking video, he's doing a role for like a homeless person, but he has like half his dick out and he uploads it on Instagram. Incredible. And I'm like, dude, the power of the hard R, dude.
Yeah.
He books it.
Yeah.
He books it.
Oh my God.
How? I don't know. But that's the type of confidence that a lot of people need. Some of the best actors and directors, when you meet them in person, they're fucking nuts. they are so out of it. I truly believe, even though most people don't think I'm normal, I think I'm a little too normal for Hollywood.
I could see that. I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like what I want, yeah, I feel that way too. I feel like I'm a little too normal. I was telling your team, you know, I was like, I just want like a suburban house, you know, a plot of land. I want to see my dog walk, you know, run around. I want kids.
But see, this is what I'm saying. Like, you can't, normal, bro. You can't have those thoughts. You have to have the thought of, I want to buy a rocket ship. You know what I mean?
Yeah, see, that's the kind of, that's funny. You do need that kind of crazy, man. You do need that.
Wait, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What do your parents think about your career? I'm always curious about that because nobody wants their Asian baby to be a fucking rapper.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Man, should I do it in the most honorific way of our parents or?
No, just say whatever how you feel. Yeah. I shout out my dad all the time, dude.
Yeah, okay. Well,
and I love
okay.
him.
No, so I love my parents. They've supported me by, you know, giving me a suburban upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
When I started doing my music stuff in like 2010, I was still in school. So they're like, it's cute. You know, you study for stuff on flights, you know, study for exams. It's cute. Once I graduated, I got a job as a graphic designer and they're like, oh, good. He's on a career path. But I was still doing shows, going on tours and stuff like that. And then once I quit that job and I just started only doing music, they're like, you know, you should like consider real estate. You know, you should consider being like a news anchor or like they would just always
news anchor.
I don't know.
The randomest shit ever.
They don't know anything, you know, about like the job opportunities and like, what kind of lifestyle.
How come you don't want to be a president of the United States?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what
you know, they're like, they just kept like slipping little things in, you know, to tell me like, hey, do something that's a little more steady.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, there's this one story where like, you know, I was I don't remember what year it was, but I was at Panera with my mom and like we saw some like old church people or some people that went to our church and they're like, oh, James, you know, we haven't seen you in forever, what are you up to, you know, blah blah blah, we haven't seen you in forever. And then my mom was asking them about their daughter. And I was like, Mom, why didn't you tell her about, like, you know, the music stuff going on and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, she just didn't really answer. She was like, come on.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie. And we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews. But now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Yeah. Hey, come on. Hey, man, you're a special, you're an R word.
Don't do this to
You're a big R word. You know that one.
Exactly. You know? So, I mean, obviously she loves me.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, you know, if you tell people he's an artist.
Yeah.
They probably think he's like a dumbass.
Yeah.
Easy, or all the things that they assume, you know, related to that. So, you know, for the most part, my parents, they try to support, you know, like they'll like listen to my music here and there. You know, I have a day job too. I work in IT.
Yeah.
You know, and it's remote. That's how I could like afford to do most stuff nowadays.
Yeah.
So because of that, you know, they're like happy about it, but they're like, you know, there comes a time in a man's life when he must take responsibility.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
I
yeah.
agree with that statement, but I don't agree what you're saying, Dad.
Were like, your parents ever the type to like yell, get mad?
Nah, they never really yelled at me like that.
For reals?
Because I disappointed them from a very early age.
Me too, but yeah. They still yell at
me. They still yelling?
Dude, my mom, every time I come in the door, her fist is like this. It's like, I didn't even do anything yet. Like, what are you mad about? Ooh, is it just in case? You know? She always has like one cocked, ready to go. She's like, oh my fucker. God. Dude, my mom always yells all the fucking time. I think my parents are toxic.
Yeah, like my parents don't yell at me.
Really?
Yeah.
Have they ever whooped your fucking ass?
Yes, I got whooped a lot.
When was the last time you got whooped?
Years ago. What do you mean?
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yo, yeah, me wild. Too. Yeah. Yeah, last week. Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, me too, man. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So like, you don't? What's the like? You remember the age?
It was like high school, bro.
High school?
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. What get do you the mean? Fuck out of this podcast.
What do you mean,
no wonder
bro?
Nobody believes in your fucking street cred. You didn't go through enough, man.
Yo.
Dude, my dad used to fuck me up, dude. You would have thought he was my pimp and I didn't give him my money. Like he would beat the shit out of me, dude.
Oh.
My dad once threw an office chair at my head. I was like 8.
All right, that's crazy.
Yeah, dude, my dad was fucking violent, and that's he was a pastor, too.
Yeah, that's so wild.
In the name of the Lord, bow! Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did you ever have to do the stuff where you had to hold your hands up?
Yeah, yeah, I did a lot of those classic punishments.
Oh, okay, thank God.
Yeah. So I'm very familiar. Yeah, my God, dude. My parents, they worked at the cleaners, though, all the time, so they were, I think, they were mentally too drained to, like, really, like, go at me. Of course, like, my dad yelled at me and stuff,
yeah.
But it's because, like, I did something wrong. It wasn't, like, abusive.
Oh, you're so lucky, dude.
I am fortunate.
I mean, my dad was a pastor. He ran a business, had to take care of my grandparents, but he had always an extra fucking, you know, a couple gases in the tank just to smack me up a bit, dude.
Yeah, bro. What'd they use? Like, their hands? Or
everything, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like when I walked into the house and I knew I fucked up, I would try to hide every object that they could fuck me up
yeah,
with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, one time, I remember my mom... Well, this is actually let me tell you this grandma story. So my grandma used to whip my ass with this thing. It was, it's like a green bamboo stick that you use to stake plants. I only know that now because I do tomatoes, but years ago, I didn't know what it was.
Oh,
for.
The thing with like a tip?
No, it's just like a green bamboo stick. It's bright green.
Oh.
It's like a deep green. It's like this color green.
Okay.
And so she used to whoop my ass with that. To no extent, my grandma did. Everybody was whooping my ass, dude. I never got a break. Mom would whoop my ass, and they were like a WWE tag team. They would just come in, just bop, bop, bop. And then I would go to my grandma's house, and then she would whoop my ass, too.
Oh, my God.
So she had this green little bamboo stick. Well, one day when she was whooping me, it fucking snapped. I never experienced that type of joy ever again. I recently just got married.
Relief.
Doesn't even fucking match up to that moment,
dude. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When that wooden stick snapped, I remember going, thank God. And this woman goes to the back of the couch, apparently comes in packs of 24.
Oh, she and re-upped.
So, like 6 years, she never had to re-up. So she brought, I remember the bag that she brought out from the back of the couch. It was dusty as shit. And the logo on it, it said 24 count. It was blue and yellow.
Oh my God. Oh, it's a multicolor?
And then she whipped it out. That bamboo stick, if anybody knows about it, that shit was so fast because it was light. It was aerodynamic. So you couldn't see it, but you could hear it. So it would just be like, you would just run and you just hear.
That's a crazy switch.
Dude, this woman would whoop my fucking ass. My parents actually, at a certain point, I mean, this is kind of sad, kind of funny to me now, sad in reality.
Yeah.
So she used to like whoop my ass so bad that, but she never whooped my brother's ass, right? So I just didn't know why.
He's younger?
He's my older brother.
What?
Yeah. My older brother is very calm, right? He's a nurse. He's very, very kind, very sweet dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I would just laugh at everything, but my grandma hated noise.
Oh.
So I would just crack the fuck up at Sunday cartoons, and she hated me laughing. For some reason, children laughing, it kills her soul. Like, I don't know why.
The purest thing in this world.
I know. She fucking hated it, though.
Yeah.
If there was joy in the house, she wanted to take it out.
That's crazy.
Fucking, I don't forget what the fuck I did, but then she hit me, but she missed my butt. or my back because I was running, and then she hit me in the eye.
Oh.
Right here. And then my whole face welted up.
Yeah.
Well, my dad saw that, and then I didn't know this until I got older, but my brother told my dad that Halmoni was beating me up too much. And then my dad was like, what are you talking about? So he saw the fucking welt on my eye. Oh. And then I didn't see my grandma for like 3 or 4 years or something like that. I don't remember this. Like, I literally don't remember this.
She got banished.
She got banished to the shadow realm.
Yeah.
They were like, never again. I don't remember this, though. I remember the hitting on the face, but I don't remember the gap where I didn't see my grandparents.
Damn.
Yeah. But then that happened because of the ass whoopings. But my parents, they didn't know how to, like, deal with their emotions. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
My dad had a rough upbringing. My mom grew up fucking farm poor and shit.
Yeah.
We were struggling with bills. And as a young person, or as an adult now, I can see why they were just so angry. Like, I was a fucking psychopath as a kid, right? I was one of them sticky kids. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know that one kid in class that for some reason is always sticky even though I drink water? And then somehow I have, like
clammy hands?
Just clammy and just sticky all the time. I was one of them, like, gross-ass kids.
Yeah.
Moist. So she didn't know how to deal with me, so they would just whoop my ass. But they also didn't know I have, like severe ADHD. But that didn't exist when we were kids.
Right?
You were just a kid who chose not to pay attention that was just always rambunctious and in trouble.
Yeah.
But the things that I excelled at were, like, sports. It's because you're always moving around all the fucking time.
Yeah.
So, like, for them, they didn't understand. So, like, when I used to get whooped all the time, for me, it's, like, some of my best memories. Like, I don't know why. I don't know why, but I fucking look back and I'm like, yeah, I remember I used to get my ass whooped. And I loved it. You don't relate, huh?
No. I don't look back on it and, like, damn, I laugh about it, but I'm not like, yeah, I like that.
What was the worst whooping you got?
My dad, he moved from a, he used a remote, and then I think it wasn't inflicting enough damage, so he got a pinata stick that he found from, like, an old.
What's the pinata stick made out of?
It's just plastic. It's nothing crazy.
Your life is great, dude.
Bro, I'm, you know.
Dude, my dad once, I think he gave me one of those Spartan kicks, you know, when they kicked him down the well, right in the gut. I think it's because I was, like, farting too much. It's just like I was stinking up the whole fucking living room.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to eat dinner.
Yeah.
And then, you know, your boy over here just fucking blasted him off. You know what I mean? He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm farting. You know, my dad would get mad at me for farting. It's like,
yeah, man, because it's natural.
It's so smells so bad. But I can't control it because at the time I didn't know I was lactose, right? And I had a shit ton of ice
so
cream.
Funny.
So I just kept farting. I remember he just got sick of it. He just went, bah, kicked me in my gut. Damn. And I farted again because he hit me in my stomach. Yeah. And it made him even more mad.
Oh, my God.
Dude, my parents were fucking wild, bro. Dude.
Yeah. Damn. I guess I don't relate in that sense.
That's a good thing, though. I'm glad you had such crazy. A great upbringing, you piece of shit. Like,
yeah, man. Look, it's what keeps me grounded, I guess. Yeah.
But at least, like, you know, for your parents, at least they have a better tact to, like, speak to you, right? They kind of subtly...
But they don't know how to deal with emotions. I relate to that, you know? Like, whenever, like, I express some sort of, like, sadness or, you know, especially, like, what happened to the past year for me. Like, if I express any sort of negative emotion, it's really hard for her to be like,
Oh, would she just come up to you and be like,
She'll just be like, no. She'll be like, it's okay. And it's like, I didn't ask you if it's okay. I'm just telling you how I feel.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, why am I having to explain this to you?
Well, your parents, that's so interesting. Because I feel like even with my parents, I can express emotion to them. You know what I mean? And then we could actually have that because we're very extreme. Like, there's no peace in my house, right? It's either, like, extreme joy or extreme rage. There's no in between, you know? So if I tell her about my feelings, she'll do two options. She'll either console me or she'll call me a gay boy. But, like, but one of those options, they express themselves, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're not. My parents, I would say they're more of the just don't express it, brush it under the rug. Like, I remember one time, like, my dad, he was, like, feeling remorse about, like, one of his businesses that he had to close down, like, back in the day.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
You know, it was sad for him, you know, like.
This is like, you're telling him your feelings. He goes, shut up.
Yeah.
He goes, why are you sad, Dad? My business. But, like, his son's feelings don't fucking matter.
Yeah. No, it was basically, like, him expressing himself. And as he was crying, like. My dad was, like, sobbing, and then my mom kind of got up and, like, went to get coffee.
And never came back.
And then my sister kind of, like, walked and, like, got some napkins, and then I found myself, like, leaving the table to like get like something, like a fork, you know?
Yeah. You're like, Dad,
and it's basically
awkward, dude.
Yeah. I realized like at the time, it's like, oh, we don't know how to deal with emotions, especially, I mean, even for me, I realized like, especially like the guys in my life, not only my family, but friends, when I see like dudes expressing themselves, or especially the internet, bro, it's fucked online.
Well, that's different. The internet, they express themselves too much. Yeah. Some of them need to just shut the fuck up.
Yeah. You know? I do agree. But I don't know, man. Like, I've realized, like, expressing emotions is like, a difficult thing. I didn't grow up expressing ourselves. Everything was just suppressed.
So it was just, did you express a lot of happiness, though, on the other hand? Or are you just, like, when your father was something good, like, if you won the lottery, you'd be like, it is time. And that's it. You just walk away.
They've gotten a little more expressive over the years, but, it, like, we didn't have, like, we never went on vacation, you know, like, we would just like celebrate with food and we'd be like, this is great. And then I'm like a very joyful, bright person. But in my family, everyone knows me to be the sensitive, emotional one. So I don't know what that means. You know, like you see me right now and I'm like smiling all the time. I love being smiley and happy. You know, I enjoy that.
Damn, your parents are robots, dude.
Kind of in some ways. Yeah. You know? But I've noticed now, like as my dad gets older, he's a little less NPC. Oh,
he's so like, sensitive now.
Yeah. Older. Like he was listening to like the new songs from my album, and he was like, he started like crying because he was like, I can hear the things that you went through.
Really? And he started tearing up.
Two tears. Yeah, I was like, and then I like, because I was driving, and I was like, I saw from my peripheral, and I was like, anyway, if I see my dad cry, man, yeah. I lose it. I'm just like, I'm driving like this.
You guys are crashing your car all over. Yeah. Like, no, a bunch of real. Asian stereotypes.
Yeah, bro. It was, yeah. So it's changed a little bit. But for the most part, I feel like I'm trying to learn how to like express myself and express my needs. And
I feel like okay, you do that through your music, though. A lot of people are kind of like that.
I do. Yeah. I've learned to do it through that.
A lot of people are more expressive on like this, because it's almost like, when you have an artistic arm, it's like a different person.
Yeah.
James Han and Uzo Han are two separate people. So the way that you express yourself as this artist is going to be different than how you do it in your own life.
It's true.
And sometimes, and I say this with the young people, right? How many times have you seen young people, man, they talk that shit online like crazy. And you meet them in person, little bitches.
Yeah.
It's like, you're a little bitch. Like, you would never say that to somebody in person,
it's
right?
It's wild.
Because, like, it's easier to create that alter ego than for you to just, you know, put that into your own life.
Well, and it's also helpful, like, you want to suspend reality to, like, process something. You know, you need to sometimes in order to, like, understand something about yourself. You need a playground to, like, maybe explore that idea. I mean, you do that in movies. You suspend reality for the sake of some idea you want to explore.
Yeah. You know? I think for me, like the extension of myself to this thing is still essentially the same fucking person. If anything, I might be a worse person in real life. it's like, you know, like I've never been able to really deal with living a life of duality. Like it's too stressful. I can't do it. It's almost fucking physically impossible for me. I could do it to the sense of in a social group, I have a lot of nunchi, right? So I'll look around and see like, okay, maybe being myself might not be the best idea.
Yeah.
Like if I go out to dinner with my wife's like coworkers, I'm not gonna be like, hey, did
can't
you see
talk
this
your shit.
Yeah, did you see this Down syndrome TikTok, you know, show them. You know,
yo, are you on cringe talk?
I can't watch cringe stuff because it physically hurts me.
Oh, you get the what is it, secondhand cringe?
Yeah, it physically, okay, so Tim always sends me cringy stuff because he knows I can't watch it. There was this video of this guy in a theater, right? And this kid, he's the classic brace face with the long hair or whatever, greasy looking kid.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
My lovely genius brain farts, this podcast is brought to you by Fume. Ever try to break a bad habit and felt like you're climbing Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, we've been there too, but here's a breath of fresh air. Fume, it's not about giving up. It's about switching up, baby. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. What is Fume, you ask? Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy that makes replacing your bad habit easy. I keep one in my car just because I'm a fidgety guy. And guess what? I'd be puffing on that delicious herbal tea vapor, my friends. Nothing bad for you in there. And definitely, definitely fun to use. My friends, start the year off right with the good habit by going to tryfume.com/genius and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off when they use my code genius to help make starting the good habit that much easier. Start the good habit at tryfume.com/genius to save 10% off the journey pack today.
You look into his room, roaches everywhere, disgusting.
Oh,
and God. He's like, hey guys, today, and he's not doing this as a joke. This is him doing a daily vlog.
Ugh.
And he went to like a premiere of some type of Star Wars thing or whatever. And before the movie starts, he goes, well, today I just wanted to get the crowd going. He goes, who's ready for the movie? And then there's one person going, yeah. And he sits down. He goes, I felt good because I got the crowd going. And just watching that shit felt like 1,000 knives in my eye. Just fucking God damn it. Stop it. I wanted to grab him and shake him. Like, yeah, just do the screen. Just don't do this. You're better than this.
Yeah.
But then I can't watch. Cringe stuff just kills me, man. I just, you know what? If I look back, it just reminds me of like a younger version of myself, right? Where you just did so much embarrassing things because you wanted to impress people.
So cringy back, yeah.
So when you're a young person, you're just this cringy little character.
But you know why cringe talk is interesting? I have this one take on it. It's just like, as a person who enjoys the social sciences, I think it's fascinating that these kind of humans exist.
Oh, I very much enjoy it, but like enjoy the fact that those people exist.
Yeah.
But just it hurts me to
for
watch
sure.
It
it's painful.
So bad.
It's painful. I'm like this the whole time. I'm like, there's like levels to the cringe too. I'm just like, oh, like
yeah. It's
just the whole time.
It gets pretty fucking bad, man. Yeah. And like I said, those cringe people, they'll watch. They're gonna be the next biggest rapper out there because they believe in themselves so much.
They got the hard R, man.
They got the hard R in their hearts, dude.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, like when I see that stuff, it just makes me feel, I don't know, man. Because I just don't know how long they went throughout their whole lives this way and then nobody said anything.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, it's like when I look at that, it's like they're happy. So I'm like, maybe this person has it right. Maybe they got it right. Maybe I'm the one that's wrong here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think about that sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, because when I see other people enjoy themselves, it's not the way that I want to enjoy it. It just, I'm like, maybe they have something going on.
It's like that. Have you ever seen that one video, like the Protector of the Basic? Have you seen that YouTube video?
Mm-mm, what's that?
It's like an old video. Me and Sam, we talk about that video all the time. It's this video of, I don't know. It's like some hipster girl. It's like back in like early 2000s. Hipster girl is like talking to this girl who's like, oh, I love my pumpkin spice latte. And she's like, oh, you're so basic. And then all of a sudden this fairy dude pops up and he's like, I'm the defender of the basic, you know? Why are you like hating on her? She enjoys her life, you know? If she likes to eat vanilla ice cream, let her eat vanilla ice cream.
Yeah,
she loves her life.
Yeah.
You know, why you gotta be so down on her just because you hate your life?
True. Yeah. I mean, look, I feel like the people in the world who kind of live like what most people call the basic life are typically like the happiest because ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
You don't need much to be happy, right? Yeah, and everybody towards like the later end of their lives, they always go back to basic. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's very telling because you've always seen it. How many times, you know, these fucking celebrities, when they get older, man, when I was younger, I was doing all this stuff that I thought would fulfill me. But now I realize all I wanted was a peaceful life. Everybody says that same fucking story every time, right? And it says something about life, right? Like, I just don't think we need that much to be happy. Everybody tries to like fill this void that's just impossible to fill with, you know, we'll break it down to like physical beauty, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times I've seen somebody's fucked up face just walk around as if it's like the most normal thing ever.
Yeah.
And as they get older, they kind of hold on to this thing, youth, because that's how they value themselves, right? Uh-huh. I'm that person that's valued by the way that I look, so I need to keep this as long as possible.
Oh, but and you get the... You know.
They all look like fucking cats.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And their face looks so insane. And look, Like I said, it goes back to if that makes you happy, but it's never been the case. From what I've seen, and you know, I've lived in the city now for 12, 13 years, and I've seen the people who try to hold on to their youth, as they get older, they start doing the crazy diets. They're crying because they're getting older here. They try to fix something else. It becomes fixed for a second. They read a comment about them getting older, and they freak the fuck out. Yeah. It's like, bitch, you're supposed to get old.
Yeah.
Embrace it, man. Embrace that shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I say, you know, keep your beauty as long as you can, but it's not supposed to be forever, dude. Yeah. It's just the most pointless thing. It's the most pointless thing to invest in. Like, I say, like, I mean, why? Why? I just still don't understand. If I went back, right, and I looked at my mom, and then she got a facelift and shit, I would fucking cry.
Yeah.
Because it's not the face that I know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It would literally kill me to see my mom feel that she's not worthy enough, so she had to do something to her face to make her feel like she's going to be loved.
Yeah.
And I would fucking hate that. Like, even for me now, the woman that I married, one of the biggest things that I wanted in a partner was that they weren't really on social media because it fucks up the personal relationship so much
from all the noise that she'll hear about, especially like your platform and
my platform, other people's stuff. And she's not really on the platform that much. She just does whatever.
Yeah.
So for her, she keeps her sanity. Her sense of self isn't based on what other people say.
Right.
Right. And like for me, no matter what, if I wasn't with her, then another person that I would be with is somebody who isn't on social media.
Yeah.
I require that, right? Because I have to be in this because of my career choice.
Yeah.
Right? It would be stupid not to. Yeah. So it's just, I don't know, man. Like you're going to move into this city, and I feel like as long as you have a strong foundation and a good group of people around you, you'll be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But sometimes like those thoughts, those little evil thoughts will creep in.
Yeah.
Because life is always about comparison. Like you just can't help it.
Yeah.
You'll see somebody who's another artist that's in your same lane, and then, I don't know, something might happen to them.
Yeah.
And then it makes you feel a certain way about yourself, right? Which is a very evil thought to have, but it always creeps in somehow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Really random, just because I'm looking at your shirt. That's your brand, right?
Oh, yeah. So this is, well, so I do, what the fuck? I moved the mic away from my face. I'm on a podcast, you idiot. But this is my collab that I did with my clothing brand Secret Society.
Yeah, Secret Society.
Yeah, so we did a pre-order for this. This was one of the most difficult shirts I've ever fucking made in my life. Like, it was impossible to get this down right. That's why we're not making this one again. Is that puffer
print?
It's puff print, and then the back is the...
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that shit was damn near impossible to fucking make.
Is that DTG? Is that Director Garment?
No, it's not. Yeah, this is not DTG. So that's why it was fucking hard to make.
Oh, man.
So we did multiple batches on it. The first batch all fucked up because you have to keep the screen on there perfectly aligned every time. And it's like fucking 20 layers of colors.
Yeah.
So
that's a screen print on the back?
This is a screen print
on the back. Y'all are insane. At least, how many colors?
It's a lot. It was like 20 colors, I'm sure.
That's ridiculous.
It was ridiculous to make.
That's maxing out the whole. So
there was most people who didn't want to make it for us because it was just so much fucking work.
Yeah.
And plus this shirt costs so much to make, you didn't make much profit off of it. I wanted
a little drop shoulder to it. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so all of our stuff too, like, you know, when we did Secret Society, it's also like one of those passion projects.
Yeah,
I could have put this on a cheaper body, but, you know, we do all of our stuff is cut and sew, even the shirt is. This is our body, right? Yeah. You won't get this anywhere else.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a cut and sew.
Yeah.
It's dope.
So we do all of our own bodies. So, obviously if we make the shirt and we sell it, if we got a blank, which blanks are fine too,
it
would be a lot cheaper. I could profit more, but I didn't like the way it fit. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
So we tried to sell it at a price point where we could take some money from it, but it wasn't a lot. It was so fucking little. Yeah. But I just wanted to make this fucking shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people got it. So it makes me happy when I see people walking around with it because it was inspired by my trip to Korea.
Well, you ate so good, man.
Oh, dude, I gained like 10 pounds in 2 weeks?
That's nice.
I eat like literally the apocalypse is coming tomorrow. it's actually disgusting. Like sometimes when I eat and I, you know, if I'm sitting somewhere and then I see my reflection like in the fucking glass, I get a little disgusted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this, dude, I would order food when I was in Korea and they're like, is anybody else coming?
Two more people?
Yeah. I was like, no, this is just for me and my wife.
Dude, it's so easy to eat, bro. And it's just superior in Korea.
Dude, the Korean food in Korea is so
superior.
Good, dude.
Dude.
It's so good.
I thought the gukbap for a long time, I thought like the, what's the big one? Hanbat? Or jinseol?
Jinseol gukbap.
Yeah. But like all those spots in LA, I thought they were very good. And then I just go to some random spot.
It's better.
Some ajumma where she has like a boar, like a pig head just out in the open. You walk in, it smells like shit because you pass by all the, you know,
the dead animals.
Dead animals. Sit in the back. Bro, that was like the best kebab I ever had.
Yeah, like Korea's crazy food. Well, there was that clip of Ben Baller where he was saying that the Korean food in LA is way vastly better than the stuff in Korea. And I was
Ben Baller. You mean Ben Baller?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. So
why did he say that?
Because he's a fucking idiot. Yeah, he's a fucking full blown idiot.
Yo, Korea's superior.
Well,
man.
If you've
been, man, that.
Well, to his credit, I would say that he's older, right? So he's like probably almost in his 50s. Yeah. So I know during the time when Korea was going through a lot of shit, our food was better here because we had better quality ingredients.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
It's different now.
Yeah, right? So maybe I don't know the OG. Yeah, I didn't even know that context.
Yeah, so back in the day, like around when we were younger, so let's say when I was, I would say, you know, third grade, so 8 years old, eight or seven years old
yeah,
around there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Eight or nine, seven or nine, whatever. Back then, we used to send stuff to Korea all the time. So, like, the medication, the vitamins and stuff all came from, like, China. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't very, like, reputable. So they would always ask us to bring vitamins to Korea and ship it to them because they couldn't get it.
Right.
And so when you would go to Korea, too, the food wasn't as great because the quality of meat wasn't good and all this other stuff. Well, now the import and the export in Korea is fantastic.
Crazy.
So the food there is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And you got to understand too, for other people, like Korean food is all they do in Korea. Korean food is just food.
You know, dude, have you had Italian food in Korea?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of
that. Might insult you, I'm sorry. But you know,
yeah, fucking, he just,
we got an Italian man,
he just whipped out his salami. He was about to hit you with his salome.
He was.
But like Italian fusion
with the mozzarella.
Yeah, Italian fusion is good. You know, but I'm not a big fan of Korean Italian fusion pasta for some reason. It doesn't hit me. I like Japanese Italian fusion.
Oh, that's
though.
Very good.
Yeah,
very
but good. For some reason Korean Italian didn't hit that
way. I had this one spot in Shincheon. It was random. It's just I didn't expect anything to be good, like any American food to be good.
Yeah,
and I'm always impressed by how, like, well, it's not American food, but Western food, how they like remix it. I'm like, damn.
One of the things that Korea does really bad though, for like, it's like a disgrace, definitely that's oh, I forgot about that. Pho's not good. Also pizza.
Yeah, it's not good, or it is good?
It's not good
because I don't really go for pizza. Oh yeah, the koguma pizza and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, I think those things like creatively taste good, right? Yeah. But if they try to do like, they're scared of char because they couldn't, like Korean people equate char with cancer,
right? Yeah, immediately. Yeah, they do.
So when they put it in the oven, it's the pizza's always fucking undercooked.
Yeah,
it's because they don't want the char, but that's the flavor. It's so it's true. Fucking always. I had pizza like four times in Korea, and it was same every different place. They always undercooked it. Because they don't want it to be charred. So it's but you need that.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. It would piss me off. But then you go to Japan, and they have their Japanese Neapolitan pizza. Fucking wild, dude. It's Japan's so elite. Fucking good.
Yeah, with their food.
Yeah, Japan's food experience was crazy for me. Like, when I went there and I ate the food.
Yeah. Similar to Italy, right? They really care about their ingredients being fresh.
100%. Yeah. Sometimes, dude, I just want to, like, do a whole YouTube page of me fucking up Italian food. Just because
the ingredients are trash?
Because the reaction would be visceral, dude.
Oh,
when I see Italian people freak out about food, it makes me die laughing. It's so fucking crazy how particular they are about their culture, which I respect a lot.
Yeah,
but like carbonara, right? The moment you put a drop of cream in it, just one Italian grandma has a heart attack. You know? She just flips the fuck out, starts flipping tomatoes.
Yeah.
Like, she gets so upset.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a guy that I watch, his name is Vincenzo's Plate. Shout out to Vincenzo's Plate. I know you don't know me, but when he reacts to other people making Italian food, I love it, dude. What? Why you do that? What is this? You put it, you don't need a parmigiano. You know, parmigiano not supposed to be here. And then you see him freak the fuck out. I love it, dude, because it makes him so mad. Yeah. Sometimes I just want to send him videos of me just fucking up all of his food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Making a shitty little tiramisu, put only chocolate powder, no espresso, and just send it over, say it's better than any fucking Italian food I've ever had. But it's respect.
Yeah.
Right. I like that they enjoy their food that much. But, you know, once it gets into the hands of another culture, it's going to get changed.
Yeah.
It happens to Korean food, Japanese food, or whatever. As long as it tastes good, I'm okay.
How do you feel about fusion foods?
Most fusion foods, I think, don't taste good because most people don't know how to fuse it. But then a lot of dishes now are already fusion, right? Vietnamese food is fusion. That's French influence.
Oh, with the banh mi.
with the banh mi, right. Even pho, people kind of say it's like a consomme or something like that, right? Depending on where you get the pho, right? Korean food has a lot of American influence. We fucking love fried chicken. That's American GI
and cheese.
Shit. Yeah, we love mozzarella cheese in Korea goes wild now.
That's crazy. And we're all lactose.
Yeah. I don't understand. There's cheese everywhere in Korea. Yeah.
All the
like, yeah. We love fried chicken. That's American adaptation. So
for sure.
Black GIs came in. They're like, hey, you see this shit? And then Korean guy was like, oh, what the fuck, man? know? Thank you very much.
Yeah,
took
yeah,
that
yeah.
shit. You know?
Very munchy.
Yeah, and they made that. We, you know, America too is all fusion food. I think like the concept of fusion is when you take two cultures and you just kind of put things together. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Like big respects to Roy Choi and his Kogi truck. Yeah. I hated Kogi truck.
Mm.
I did not fucking like it at all. I thought it was tortilla and you put prugogi inside it. And I'm like, this is not really fusion. You're just smashing two things together.
Yeah. It didn't feel like they were like doing a dance together.
No disrespect to Roy Choi, by the way. I think he's like the godfather. He really kind of put like...
paved the way.
Yeah, for like Korean people... like especially in the food scene, he put us on the map. Yeah, but I really appreciate it. But when I had Kogi, I wasn't a big fan of it.
Yeah.
Not to say that I can't respect what he does.
Didn't you? Did you ever go to Chego back when he had?
Yes,
that's his, right?
That was his.
The one in Chinatown.
Yes,
bro, I loved Chego.
Really? I did not like it.
Yeah, why?
It just didn't taste that good. It was just very this.
Yeah. Well, not being from LA, I didn't have the same. I was just like, damn, this is a cool food.
I heard Best Friend in Vegas is good, though. I heard great things about that place, so I can't wait to try that.
Nice.
But, I think Roy's just one of those guys that he was an innovator. Mm. So, like, he'll always get my respect for that. But, you know, for my taste, by the way, if you had the food and you liked it, that means you liked it. Like, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's just my preference.
Yeah.
But I had, there was a lot of people that were doing food at the time that I got really disappointed in. Like, Eddie Huang had his Bao House.
In New York? Yeah. They had one in L.A.?
Yeah. He had a couple, I think. That. I did not like it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I was not.
It was a cool vibe. You walked in and you hear, like, you know, 90s rap.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't give a fuck about vibe. I go to a restaurant for fucking food.
Dude, honestly, somebody in L.A., I forget who it was, he does videos, but he put out a video where he was like, you know, when I go to a restaurant and I see, like, 3.5 stars, that's the place I want to go to because they probably focus on the food, don't give a fuck about like the vibe, and they put it all in the product.
When I look at reviews, right, and the first thing somebody says, they go, these people were rude. I'm like, next.
Yeah,
what's the next
exactly.
One? Let me see the next review.
I bypass that.
The food was amazing, but the waitress, cool. I'll probably go here.
Yeah.
Because like for service wise, if you treat me like shit, but the food was immaculate, I'll let it go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Facts. Just give me my food.
Yeah.
Right. Don't steal my money. Just give me my food. But if you came in and you were just like, I don't know, like any typical Asian restaurant. Yeah. Hey, what you want?
Yeah.
Right.
Great.
And then she sticks her full ass thumb into my soup and then serves it to me. Hey,
cool with it.
It's a good time, dude. As long as it's fucking delicious.
Yeah.
Like Yelp reviews, too. They always talk about their feelings and I hate it. It's like, just tell me if you like the food or not, dude. I don't need to know why you woke up today and then your fucking husband left you. And then it's just, when I see a review, it's this fucking long. It's dog, you have no friends.
Get to this
you were the
point.
Biggest loser I've ever met in my life. If I see you, I'm going to kick you in your stomach like my dad did.
That's just right.
Like, bow! Yeah. Too much of fat!
Oh my gosh.
Hey, Pete, what are we at right now?
58 minutes.
You got time for another one?
Yeah.
All right. We'll do a little bit more on the music side. The fucking podcast got away from us. I was supposed to ask him more questions, but sometimes you just have your friends in here and you just fucking bullshit.
Nah, it's cool, bro.
But anyways, guys, this wraps up this episode of the Genius Braid podcast. All your socials, line it up. And then also the new video that's going to be dropping soon. You line it up, bitch.
Oh, what do you mean? What does that mean?
Talk your shit.
Okay. Oh, my bad. I thought it was like going to be done. Okay, so follow me on Uzuhan Music on all platforms. I have a new music video coming out, Loverboy. It's for my new single that came out. It's going to be a great music video. I hope you enjoy it. It's going to be a great time.
Next podcast we're going to actually talk about is music. We'll see y'all next time. Genius Brain every Sundays at 12 p.m. Secret Society, SecretSociety.com. Our first line just launched this year because of all these complications. A lot of the stuff is kind of out, but we will be doing a re-up real soon, hopefully. And then we also have a Genius Brain collab piece coming out Black Friday on November. It's going to be inspired by my Japan trip. It's going to be fucking sick. Genius Brain every Sundays at 12 p.m. We'll see y'all next time. Peace.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home,
it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Do you follow automotive news, or do you just like cars and want to see what the heck's going on? Well, then you might like Donut Media's new podcast, The Big Three. Hi, I'm James Pumphrey, and every week, me and my co-host slash two of my top five friends, Nolan Sykes and Joe Weber, unpack the latest and greatest in automotive news and trends on The Big Three. You'll also get a lot of laughs, hot takes, and personal insight on cars from the biggest car guys in automotive media. So, whether you're a hardcore enthusiast or just a person who goes, that's a good looking car, check out The Big Three, available wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch the full videos at Donut Podcasts on YouTube.